The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Refuah Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefana lo, en narefana lo, en narefana lo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with Arichut Yamim, health, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be Zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen.
Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Rabbi Ilan Mansour and the entire Daf Yomi class by Mr. Tuvi Assis and family.
Dav Vav. Today's daf is being studied by Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Fuash Chedema Rafael David Levi Ben Beracha. Enna refana lo, enna refana lo, enna refana lufata nefesh, lufata gufu atokur balabo. Vechen yirason v'nomar. Amen. We begin today's daf right on the top of Dav Vav. Amar Rava. Met biyom tov rishon. If somebody passed away, actually we read it met. If somebody passed away biyom tov rishon on the first day of yom tov, yitaseku bo amemim. He could be buried, but only by Gentiles. Met biyom tov sheni. However, on the second day of the yom tov, yitaseku bo Yisrael. Then already Jewish people are involved, are allowed to involve themselves in the burial. Now, of course, in burying somebody, there is melacha. The burial itself would be considered digging, which is normally asur, cutting the shrouds, right, in order to prepare it for the mit. It's also asur, it would be gozes, or, gozes, and cutting different types of melacha that we'd have to do, carrying him, mukse, etc. So all these things are mutar on the first day, ayedeh goy, on the second day, ayedeh Yisrael. And the Gemara will explain. Va'afilu b'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Wow, even the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which really we concluded in the last Gemara, are really considered one long Kiddushah, and the rabbis instituted it as one long day, still, regarding a mit, on the second day, we're lenient for Jewish people to involve themselves in the actual burial. Masheen ken babetzah. Wow. So when it comes to Betza, we're Mahmir. Nolad Beze, Berosh Hashanah, Asura Beze. And for Betza, we're going to hold that it's one long Kiddushah. I'm going to be Mahmir. But for Met, for the law of burial, we'll be lenient. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rava. There's a Hiluk between a Met and the Betza Legabe Rosh Hashanah. Nehardea Amre, the rabbis of Nehardea said, Av Babesa. You know what? Even Besa on Rosh Hashanah, Nolad Bezeh, Mutar Bezeh. That is a big Hadush. Means he's allowing the Besa on the second day to be permissible. Now, the Chaurav, let's review the history that we learned yesterday. Originally in the Beit HaMikdash, the rule was a Edim would come. Right? And they would testify on the 30th day of Elul, for example, that they saw the moon. Beit Din would sanctify it as Rosh Hashanah, and then the first day would be Rosh Hashanah, and there would be no second day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah in the Torah is only one day. What happened was, 1 year in the Beit HaMikdash, the Edim were late. Came the afternoon, where they were bringing the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, the afternoon Korban, and the Kohanim and the Levim, instead of singing the Rosh Hashanah song, because they didn't think it was Rosh Hashanah, they didn't think the witnesses were going to show up. So they sang the song of Chol. Right, the weekday song. What ended up happening right after they sang that song, as they brought the Korban, the Edim showed up. Oh, so the rabbi said, this is a kilkul. This is a mess up over here. We sang the wrong shir. So at that point, the Hachamim made a takana. What's the takana? From now on, we never accept witnesses after Mincha. And from that time on, witnesses that would come after Mincha, what the rabbis would do is like this. They'd say, we're not accepting them. So, but still, we're going to push Rosh Hashanah until tomorrow, but today we're going to treat as Kodesh as well. even though they didn't accept the testimony, but since they did the majority of their Kodesh, they're going to keep it Kodesh as well, because they didn't want a problem to come out in the future years. Now, that means, even in Beit Din, in Eretz Yisrael, there was a scenario where Rosh Hashanah was 2 days, not misafik. The 2 days was not because we had a doubt. The 2 days were an institution of Hakamim, which means it was originally they instituted today's Kodesh and tomorrow's Kodesh. And therefore we said, when the Galut, right, the people outside of Eretz Yisrael, when they're doing 2 days, because they never know when the witnesses come, so they always have to do 2 days, so it's going to be like the institution of Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be like all one Kiddusha, with Hakamim decided both days of Kodesh. Therefore we said, Nolad Bezeh, Asura Bezeh. So now the rabbis of Nehardea come along and say, yes, we agree with you. There was a takana in Eretz Yisrael that the rabbis came along and said, Mina Minha, and oh, we don't accept witnesses. And therefore, technically, there's going to be a situation where Rosh Hashanah is going to be 2 days. The first day, the rabbis will institute it, right? Because they don't want the problem to come out. And the next day, of course, is going to be Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, it's Yoma Arikta. We agree with the takana. The only problem is like this. Dema da'tech. What do you think? Dilma me'avre le'elul. What were you worried? That Elul is going to be pushed to the next day, which means you thought that they weren't going to sanctify Elul on the 30th. You thought they were going to do it the next day. There's 2 days of Rosh, that the possible to be Rosh Chodesh, either the 30th or the 31st, right? So we always talking on the 30th. The witnesses came late, right? And then the rabbis pushed it to the next day. So what are you worried about? You're worried about a case that Elul is going to be pushed to the next day. Amar Rav Hanina bar Kana Amar Rav Mimot Ezra Ba'ilach Lo Matsinu Elul Me'ubar. He says it never happened. Which means the rabbis made this takana. If the witnesses ever come after Minha, we're going to make 2 days. But the Nehardea rabbi said it never happened. Which means never in the history, besides once in Ezra's for first time, did the witnesses ever come after Minha that the rabbis had to activate their takana where they made 2 days. Jeez, the rabbis made a takana, they said like this, in the event that this happens, we're going to make 2 days. But it never happened. It never happened after that, which means there was always 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore they say, for the takana to take hold, it had to happen once. But it never happened. Jeez, the rabbis were concerned. I always say, you know what? If the witness is going to come after Minha, we're making a new rule now. They're never going to be accepted, and we're going to make the first day Kodesh and the second day Kodesh. Right? They gave us their idea of a potential Yom Arichta. So we always figured, yeah. So we always figured what? And in subsequent years, you know, over the hundreds of years, it must have happened, you know, 50, 60 times, where they did 2 days in Beit Din, and therefore they, even in Israel, they did 2 days. Therefore, Husla Aris, that's modeling, that has to follow the 2 days also. It's going to be like the original Tekana, therefore, Yom Arichta, therefore, Nulad Bezeh, Asura Bezeh. Now, the rabbis are telling you now that the Tekana never kicked in. It never kicked in, which means never happened that they came late. And therefore, never happened where the rabbis had to say, today's Kodesh and tomorrow's Kodesh. So therefore, the 2 days that they're doing in Usta Ares are going to be misafik. It's not going to be because, even in Israel they do 2 days because Yom Arichta. No, in Israel they never did 2 days because of Yom Arichta. And therefore, Nolad Bezeh, Mutar Bezeh. That's the Nardea's opinion. Now, the rabbis yesterday that argue on this opinion, obviously are going to hold that once they made the takana, that if this happens, we're going to do this, it doesn't matter if it happens or not. Which means once they said in the event that the witnesses come late, we're going to make today Kodesh and tomorrow Kodesh, the takana doesn't have to be activated for it to have enough kamina. Once they made such a takana, I don't care if the witnesses for the next 300 years never came late, and the rabbis never had to make 2 days, doesn't matter. They made a takana, therefore in Chutz La'aretz, the 2 days is like as if it happened. And therefore it's considered Yom Arichta, and therefore Nolad Bezeh Asur HaBezeh. But that's the opinion of Nardei. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Mor Zutra. And Mor Zutra goes back to the law of the burial. Lo Amaran Ela. That which we said, that on the second day of Yom Tov, Jewish people are allowed to get involved in the burial. Ela De'ishtahe. We're talking about where the burial was delayed. Which means, let's say he died before Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now already it's the third day. If you're not going to bury him, the body's going to start to decompose. So if already the body has not been buried for a delayed time, then on the second day we let Jews get involved in the burial. Aval, lo ishtaheh. But let's say he died on Yom Tov. Right, where there's not so much of a delay, machine on there. We wait until after Yom Tov to bury them, and we do not allow the Jews to bury on the second day of Yom Tov.
It was on the first day that he died?
Yeah.
Right. Correct. We wait till after the holiday until Jews can bury him properly. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi argues, Afal Gav de lo ishtaheh, nameh lo machine on there. He says, no. Even though there was no delay, I mean, even if he died on Yom Tov, on the second day you bury Al Yedei Yisrael. You don't have to, only you could be lenient in all cases. Even if he dies on the second day of Yom Tov, where there was no delay, the body is fresh, so to speak. Still, Jewish people could bury on the second day. Okay, so Rav Ashi is really being lenient for Kavod Amet to bury Al Yedei Yisrael, even if it was on that day. My Tama, he explains, what's the reason? Yom Tov Sheni Ligabe Met Kehol Shavya Rabbanan. The second day of Yom Tov, wow, is like a weekday regarding a Met. So we treat it like a regular weekday, and therefore, if he dies on that day, it's like dying on a regular weekday. Therefore, there's no reason not to be Mekel. We bury in such a situation. So the Gemara says, Afilu Le Megazle Gilima. Even to cut for him his gilima, the, let's say, shrouds, ulmegaz le asa, and to cut hadas, which means the Gemara is trying to make a point. Goes without saying that on the second day of Yom Tov, you're allowed to do the necessary things for a mit. Necessary things would be the burial, actually the cutting the fabric to make the shrouds, and all the mandatory items, vaday, that's permissible. We're telling it, no, it's like hol. You could do even non-mandatory items. The gilima that we're talking about over here is an extra garment that they would put on the mit, meaning for extra kavod, but not necessary really. The hadas that they would cut, that's kavod to put, you know, next to the mit, that's not a mandatory item. So the chidush is, the second day is considered hol gamur. That not only are the mandatory items going to override the second day, but even non-mandatory items are going to override. That's why the Gemara says the Lashon, Afilu, even to do these items that are not essential, it is still going to be permissible. Okay? So basically that's Rav Ashi Shita, second day of Yom Tov, Mutar Al Yedei Yisrael in all scenarios. Doesn't have to be only a mit that died earlier, it can be even a mit that died on that day where there was no Shehiyah, it'll be Mutar Ayidei Yisrael. What's going to be Mutar Ayidei Yisrael? Basically everything. Even non-essential melachot. Comes again on us, Amar Avina, Va'idana di'ika Havre. So, but nowadays that we have Havre, Havre were she calls them Umar Risha, was a wicked nation of anti-Semites that lived in the times of the Parsiim, and they would torment the Jewish people, and with all different types of gezerot, and they would demand from us always to do work for them. On Yom Tov, however, we used to tell them, listen, today we can't work, it's our holiday, and for whatever reason they accepted that claim. Now, if we're going to start burying the dead on the second day of Yom Tov, they're going to come along and say, ah, you were lying, look at this, you're digging, you're cutting, you're doing, and therefore they're going to demand from us to do other melacha. So that today, that we have the havre, we have these rishaim that are, mandating us, haishinan, we're concerned, and therefore on the second day of Yom Tov, we do not bury the dead. Right? Because we don't want the havre now to come along and use it against us. Okay, oh, you're not working, hey, you're working, you're burying. So therefore, it's asur on the second day when there is havre. Okay? Now we go to a story. Ravina ba yatif kamid Rav Ashi. Ravina was sitting in front of Rav Ashi. Bishnei yamim tovim shlosh hashana. Okay, it was Rosh Hashanah. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, of course, they were in Galut. Right? They had their 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Hazia dahava atziv. So he saw that Rav Ashi was kind of upset or depressed. Amar le. So Ravina tells Rav Asher, Amay atziv mor. Why is the master upset? Amar le, de lo otive eruv tavshilim. So I forgot to set up the eruv tavshilim. It seems Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday, Shabbat. Of course, Shabbat is following, right? Now the halacha says, which we're going to learn in the second pedik, that for a person to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat, you need to establish what we call Eruv Tavshilin. Okay? It's a certain establishment which we'll learn about. If you don't establish the Eruv Tavshilin, basically you can't prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So now it's Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Asher is all upset. And Rabbi, what are you upset about? He says, I didn't set up the Eruv Tavshilin now. How am I going to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat? So Amar Leh. So Ravina gives him the answer. He tells him, Velotiv Mora Idana. Why don't you do it now? Do it now is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Do it today. Now really we know you can't establish an Eruv on Yom Tov. So what was Ravina telling him? Do it today. Milo Amar Rava, didn't Rava teach us? Maniyah Adam Eruve Tavshirin mi Yom Tov Lahavero Umatne. Didn't Rava say you could put an Eruv Tavshirin on Yom Tov with a condition? And you can say like this. Take the Eruv, let's say, take the egg and the bread, we'll call it, that's the Eruv, let's say, and say the condition. Say, if today is Yom Tov, 2 days Yom Tov, right? If today is Yom Tov, then this is not an Eruv. But then I don't need an Eruv. Because then tomorrow is Chol. So I'm allowed to prepare from Chol to Shabbat. Right? If today is Chol, then I can make my Eruv. Then let this Eruv be Hal, and this will be my Eruv for tomorrow to cook for Shabbat. So you see the condition that he makes? Because always on a Yom Tov, how do we look at Yom Tov? One day is Kodesh, one day is Chol. We don't know, it's Safik, right? So then we say, if today is Kodesh, tomorrow I have no problem. Tomorrow is Chol, I can cook. If today is Chol, beautiful, I can make an Eruv today. Let me make my Eruv today, and tomorrow I'll cook based on the Eruv that I made today. So he was telling Rav Asher, do the same thing. The only thing he was doing, the difference is, it was Rosh Hashanah. Now we know Rosh Hashanah has a different dynamic than regular 2 days of Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah is really one long Kiddushah. So that's what happened. Amar Leh. So Rav Asher tells him back, Imar da Amar Rava, when did Rava make this Kiddush that you can make a conditional Eruv Tavshilin b'shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot? B'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Mi Amar? Did he say regarding the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are different. It's considered all one long Kiddushah. Therefore, there's no difference 1 day, 2 days. It's all considered 1 day. So the condition of Eruv is not going to work. So he comes along and tells him, as Rav Asher now comes on, Ravina comes along and says, amri nehar de'a af betza muteret. So what are you talking about? The rabbis of Nehar De'a, they came along and said, Anosh Hashanah, betza nolad bezeh. Didn't we just learn the opinion of the Nehar De'ah rabbis? That they said Rosh Hashanah is no different than any other Yom Tov. It's 1 day Kodesh and 1 day Chol, meaning it's Sefek. And therefore, just like the Nehar De'ah rabbis allowed you to use a Betzah that was born on 1 day to the next day, so it's Lechaura, you can make a conditional Eruv. So Hamba Le Rav Mordechai. So Rav Mordechai jumped in and tells Ravina, Beferush Amar Limor. Says our master Rav Asher clearly told us de lo savar lehad nehar de'ai. We don't hold like nehar de'ai. So therefore, don't bring up nehar de'ai. We don't go like nehar de'ai. We hold that Rosh Hashanah is considered Yom Arichta. It's considered one long day. So therefore, that's why Rav Asher was all upset. He says I don't have the eruv tavshilin, and a tenai is not going to be an option. Good. Tam Zgavran continues. New case. Itmar. We have a statement. Ifroach shenolad biyom tov. Till now we're talking about betzah shenolad biyom tov. The egg comes out. Now we're discussing the chick. The chick is hatched on yom tov. What's this? In the egg. Comes out on yom tov. What's the status of the chick? What do you want to do with it? Make a shechita? You want to eat it? What's the deen? So Rav Amar Asur. Rav says Asur, Ushmuel Vetima Rabbi Yohanan Amar Mutar. So Shmuel and someone said Rabbi Yohanan say it's Mutar. What's the logic? Rav Amar Asur Mukseh. The logic of Rav is mukseh. What type of mukseh seemingly this is? Nolad. This is a case of nolad, which means you have it in the shell over there. That wasn't here. The way it is now in the shell, it is asur. Everybody agrees that as long as the chick is unhatched, it's asur to eat it. And therefore now all of a sudden it surfaces, it comes out on Yom Tov. So now it's it was created, so to speak, nolad. Therefore it's mukseh. Right? It went into the holiday asur. Now all of a sudden it becomes mutad. No, it doesn't work that way. Called the holiday asur remains b'isur. Right? That's Rav's logic. Mukseh. No? Ushmael ve'etima Rabbi Yohanan amar mutar. It's the logic. Ho'il u'matir atzmo b'shchita. He gives a sevara like this. Until this point, as we said, the chick inside the egg is asur. You can't eat it. Everybody agrees it's considered like a sheretz. Until it comes out, it's not considered a chick. It's considered a sheretz. And the Torah forbids us to eat sheretzim. Okay? Once it comes out, now the egg, or the chick, I should say, has a permissibility to eat through shechita. Which now its status changed. Went from being isur to potentially heter. Right? Aydin shechita. So he wants to use a sevara like this of what's called ho'il. Since already you say its status changed, that it went from isur, now becomes to heter, to shechita. So I'll say it also goes from mukseh to become mutar as well, which means there's no mukseh on it. It's once already, just like its status changed for the eating of it, so to speak. So then it's going to become mutar to use it as well. Look at Rashi's lashon ho'il. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines if they get wide. Ho'ilu matir atzo beledato liot nishhat mashelo haya lefne ledato. It wasn't permissible before it was birth. Af mukseh hitir et atzo beledato temigu de etkan leha. It can deha. Once already I say it fixed itself regarding this, it fixed itself for everything. And once already it changed its status and became good for this, that's it. Kosher enough for everything. Therefore it's not going to be mukseh. Amri le'raf kahana ve'raf aseh le'raf. Now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav. Rav, you want to say that the chick is mukseh. V'chi ma ben ze le'egel shenolad b'yom tov. You have a cow. Cow gives birth to an egel, to a calf. Halakha says the calf is mutar on Yom Tov. You can slaughter it. So they're asking the rabbi, hey, what's the difference between a chick being born on Yom Tov or a calf being born on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, Amar lehu. Rabbi has an answer. Ho'il umuchan agav imo b'shchita. Which means the calf was permissible by result of its mother. Why? If you would slaughter the mother, are you allowed to slaughter the cow on Yom Tov? Yeah, of course. If the mother was slaughtered while the calf is still inside, Halakha says, not only is the mother permissible, but as long as the calf is still inside when you are slaughtering, the calf is considered a limb of the mother. And therefore, it's permissible to eat that calf even without shechita. When do you have to make shechita on an animal when it comes out? But as long as it's in the mother's womb, it's like, could you eat the liver of the animal? Yeah, well, because the shechita causes up the liver. The animal is considered ubar yerech immo. The ubar is considered a limb of its mother. And therefore, since the mother is non-mukseh, and therefore, I could say, I gave the mother, I could slaughter it, this is permissible, which means there's no mukseh. My mind is, if I slaughtered the mother, I could eat this child. So then when it comes out, it should be no difference. However, by the case of the chick, you don't have that sevara. You can't say it's going to be mutar agav imo, because agav imo, the chick is still asur. As long as the chick doesn't come out, it really is asur. So there's a difference between a egel and a chick that doesn't come out. Look at Rashi. Mukhan the egel shenolad b'yom tov. See Rashi, the egel? The egel shenolad b'yom tov. The tiny command shemutar bo b'yom drakol. Mukhan agave bo be'odo betoch me'eha. Right, so long as it's still in its womb, which means if the mother was slaughtered, this is permissible. And therefore when it comes out, it's going to be mutar. So comes the Gemara and says, but the chick before it's born, does it have any intent of eating? That's the point. The chick when it's in the egg, before it's born, could you eat it? This egg before it's born, you could have eaten it. How could you be eating it? I got you more. So this chick before it comes out, is there any way to eat it? You can't eat it. It's a sur. Right? Now the Gemara says, okay, fine. Here's another question on him. Uma bin zeh le'egel shenolad min ha-terefa. Says, what about an egel that was born from a terefa? You have a cow that was terefa. That has a... has a blemish that renders it terefa. Okay? Now the law is, if you slaughter the mother of a terefa, since you weren't matir the mother, you know, the slaughter of a terefa, the baby inside does not become mutar.
Right.
But still, the law is, when the baby comes out and you slaughter it on Yom Tov, it's permissible. So therefore, you have a similar case over here. Something that was asur, right? And then when it came out, it became mutar. So then just like the terefa, it was asur until it came out. You can't say, agav imo. So it also was asur until it came out. Now that it comes out, it should be shahita, should be materet, it should be okay. Look at Rashi, terefa, bina asur in nimsa betocha. Now in that case, if you slaughter the mother, terefa, the baby that's inside is asur. Da'ubar yerich imo, same logic. Because since da'ubar is a limb of the mother, and the mother is terefa, the baby inside has a status of terefa. However, when it's born on Yom Tov, right, you don't say the Sivra, it was Mukhan Agavimo. Because it's not the mother that made it Mutar. It was Asur until this point. So what's the difference, Rav? Rav's reaction was Shatik Rav. Rav didn't have an answer. He couldn't find the Hiluk between why he's saying the chick is asur and the animal that comes out of the terefa is mutar. Amar Rava, so Rava is going to come and answer it. Ve'etima Rav Yosef. Why did Rav be quiet? What's the reason why he was silent? His answer. Lema lehu ho'il umuchan agav imo lakelavim. Which means like this. Ben Hashem Ashot. When Yom Tov went in, was this animal fit for human consumption, the terefa? No. Not, you can't. Human beings cannot eat a terefa. But it was fit for something. It was fit for kelavim. I couldn't give this terefa to the dogs. The guy's a dog. Wants to feed his dog food. Mutar, you're mutar. So I could say like this. Since, bottom line, the mother was not mukseh, meaning it's mukan lekelavim, therefore, what's inside of it is also considered non-mukseh, agav imo. It's part of the mother, right? So therefore, technically, if the mother's not mukseh, I could slaughter the mother, whatever's inside the mother also, this little calf also, it's not mukseh. So he's trying to say, Rava, there's a difference. There's a difference. Which in the case of the chick before it comes out is asur. How do you want to mateen it? It's asur, you can't give it anyway. A dog is going to eat a chick when it's inside the shell. It's impossible. It's in the shell. Can't eat it yet. It didn't come out yet. It's not fit for humans. It's not fit for dogs. How's the dog going to eat it? It's in a shell. The dog can't eat it until it comes out. So the egg case, it's a mukseh legamre. Mashe'enk in the case of the terefa. Very good. The mother is fit. Not fit for humans. It's fit for kelavim. So therefore, bottom line, agav imo, this item going into Yom Tov, when it was still in the stomach, is non-mukseh. Because it's agav imo. The mother's ra'u l'kelavim, what's inside ra'u l'kelavim. Therefore, when it comes out on Yom Tov, agav imo, it's okay. Amar le Abaye. Abaye doesn't accept this answer. Abaye doesn't like this answer. He says, no, this is not a valid answer. Hashta mukhan le'adam lo haveh mukhan l'kelavim. Even something that's mukhan le'adam, we say is not mukhan le'kelavim. Let's read further and then we'll see exactly what Abiyah is getting at. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah, Masechet Shabbat. Mehatechin et adilu'in lefnei ha-behema. according to this opinion, you're allowed to cut up the gourd on Shabbat in order to give it to the animals. Well, let's say an animal died on Shabbat. Now you want to cut it up. It's not fit for human consumption anymore. Obviously, it died. So you can cut it up and feed it to the dogs. Obviously, this first opinion does not hold of mukseh, because the animal, when it went into Shabbat, it really was not fit for the dogs. Right? Now all of a sudden it died on Shabbat, so Elijah to cut it up now became fit for dogs, cut it up and give it to the dogs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this is the shita we want to focus on now. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo aita nevela me'erib Shabbat asura. He says, if this animal did not die before Shabbat, it died on Shabbat, you cannot feed it to the dogs. Why? Lefi she'ena mina mukhan. Because it was not prepared for consumption of dogs. This animal, as long as it's alive, what's the guy's intent to use it for? For himself, mukhan da adam. I mean, this guy, going into Shabbat, the animal's alive. What does he intend to do with it? He's going to eat it himself eventually. It's not a terefa, it's about a regular animal. Regular animal, was alive before Shabbat, went into Shabbat alive. So, and Bereshit Mashot, the guy's thinking, what? This is fit for me. Now it died. Now it's fit for dogs. Rabbi Yehuda says, mukseh. Because something that's fit for Adam, his mind is not to give it to the dogs. Why should I? I'm going to give good food that I can eat. I'm going to give it to the kelabim. I had no intention to give it to these dogs. So therefore what happens? When it changes its status on Shabbat, now it's not fit for me anymore. It doesn't matter. It went into Shabbat, this was mukseh for the dogs. Why? Because something that's mukhan to Adam is mukhan, is not mukhan for the kelabim. So he says, Abayah is talking, mukhan la kelabim, havi mukhan la adam? You're going to say the opposite is true? That something that's fit for the dogs, you want to say, is going to be fit for human beings? Which means, in this case over here, what's your answer that you want Rav to say? You want Rav to say, you know what, this terefa animal over here, the mother, it's fit for the dogs. And therefore, this animal that's inside the mother, that's really fit for human beings when it comes out. Since we're going to say it's fit for the dogs, I got imo, so therefore we're going to say it's fit for human beings. Abiyah says, if something that's mukhan le adam is not mukhan le kelavim, something that's mukhan le kelavim is going to be mukhan le adam? It's like a kosher kid, which is normally a person has his food, right? If you tell me something that you designate for your own food, now technically you could eat it and the dogs eat it. And still you say, you know what? No, if it's designated for man, we're not giving it to the dogs. So certainly something that's designated for the dogs, your mind is not for Adam. And therefore, in this case over here, how can you tell me that the terefa that's in the womb, you're going to tell me, you know why it's non-mukseh? Mukhan le kelavim. What? This was mukhan le kelavim going into Yom Tov. Now on Yom Tov when it was born, it's mukhan le Adam. What do you mean? Mukhan le kelavim should not make it mutar, non-mukseh, for Adam purposes. Just like you say, something that's mukseh for Adam cannot now become mukhan for kelavim. Something that was mukhan for kelavim going into Yom Tov should not make it now non-mukseh for Adam. You designated it for dog food. Now you say changes the status? If you can't turn human food into dog food, you're going to turn dog food into human food? Amaleh. So he tells him, yeah. I'll give you a logic. Go with the logic and you'll see why it's correct. In, why? Mukhan le adam lo avi mukhan le kelavim. You know why something that's designated for human consumption is not considered prepared for kelavim? Demai dehazi le le'in ishlo shadi le kelavim. Because something that's fit for you to eat, you're not going to give it to the dogs. Therefore, this animal, let's say, it goes into Shabbat, it's alive. My mind is, as long as this thing's alive, it's fit for me to use. I'm not giving it to the dogs. So when it dies on Shabbat, your mind was never giving this to. Why would you give a good animal that you can eat yourself to the dogs? However, mukhan le kelavim havi mukhan le adam. But something that's fit for the dogs is also fit for humans, in the sense that it's prepared for humans. Then why? The date de inisht akol midi de hazile. A human being says, listen, I'm going to eat everything that's fit for me. Which means, if it's fit for me, I'm going to eat it. Therefore, going into Yom Tov, right now, there's a baby in this terefa, right? The guy anticipates, listen, this baby is going to come out. When the baby comes out, what do you mean, I'm going to give it to the dogs? No, I'm going to eat it. Why should I give it to the dogs? It's good food for me. So therefore, even though right now it's mukhan le kelavim, because it's with the mother, right? If I slaughter the mother right now, the only heter is agav imo. Because since the mother is mukhan le kelavim, so therefore, Everything in this entity is non-mukseh, going into Yom Tov. Correct? Ubar yerichimo, this mukhalek elavim, what's inside is mukhalek elavim. However, I say, you know what? If something that's mukhalek elavim is going to be somehow viable for me to eat, my mind's not off it. I'm going to eat it eventually, I'll eat it. When it comes out, if it comes viable, I'm going to eat it. We're not going to say mukseh. The opposite, however, is not true. Something that's mukhan le'adam, I don't say to myself, oh, you know what? If it doesn't make mukhan le'adam to me, I'm going to give it to the good dogs. I'm not thinking, who's thinking about the dogs? As long as it's viable for me, I'm not giving it to nobody. I'm eating it myself. Changes its status on Shabbat by dying? Changes its status. I wasn't thinking about that. I'm not anticipating it to die to give it to the dogs. As long as it's viable for me, it's mine. My mom is never on that. But mukhan le'kelavim will say, mukhan le'adam. Right now it's mukhan le'kelavim. But I'm thinking to myself, listen, when this animal comes out, it's edible for me, I'm going to eat it. Therefore, I could still, therefore, Rav has an answer. Let's finish the thought. Rav has an answer. They asked Rav, Rav, by the chick you say that comes out on Yom Tov, Asur. And your logic is, it was Asur. Right? In the chick, it's Asur. You can't eat the chick when it's in the egg. It's Asur. No heter. So now it came out. Now it became mutar. Sorry, it cannot change. That's nolad. Hey, that's nolad. What about when an animal comes out of a terefa? Right? Also, it was asur. Right? Tell me mutar. Nah, it wasn't asur. It was mutar agavimo. Agavimo? What is a terefa? No, it was mukhan lakelavim. And since it was mukhan lakelavim, when it went into Yom Tov, the animal that was inside was non-mukseh. And therefore my mind was on it, that when it comes out, I'm going to eat it. So that's the difference. My she'ink in this egg, when my mind was on it, no, it's not mukhan, I can't eat it this way over here. And therefore, when it comes out, it had no heter going into Yom Tov. It wasn't mutar agav mashihu. It was asur be'etzen. It's asur be'etzen, my way. It changed its status on Yom Tov. Tanya kevate de Rav, Tanya kevate de Shmuel, betim Rabbi Yohanan. Okay, now we're just going to make braitot to support both opinions. Rav's opinion is the chick is asur. Shmuel's opinion is the chick is mutar. Now we're going to make Tanayic source for both. Tanya kevate de Rav. Egel shenolad biyom tov mutar. Okay, we all agree to that. An egel that's born on Yom Tov, mutar. Let's review the logic. Why is that so? Because going into Yom Tov, it was mutar agav imo. I could have slaughtered the mother and eaten this child inside. Now that it comes out, it remains non-mukse. Ifrawah shenolad biyom tov, asur. Oh, but the ifrawah that's born on Yom Tov, asur. Who's this bright I like? Rav. And the bright says, umah hefresh ben zeh lezeh. What's the difference between the chick and the egg? Ze mukhan agav imo b'shchita, ze eno mukhan agav imo. The egg is mukhan, is prepared by its mother. Which means I could have slaughtered its mother right on Yom Tov, and this would be permissible. Right? It's non-mukseh. The baby inside is non-mukseh. The mother's non-mukseh, whatever limbs in it, is non-mukseh. Now when it comes out, it's also non-mukseh. Mashiach, the egg, the chick, was as soon then became permissible. Imo. Not the chick. The egg. That's what it means. Tanya kivatid Shmuel v'etim Rabbi Yohanan. We have a bright according to Shmuel. Egel shenolad biyom tov mutar. The ifrawah shenolad biyom tov mutar. Both are mutar. My tama ze mukhan agav emo. The egel is mukhan agav emo. Veze matir atzmo b'shkeita. And the logic of Shmuel, like we learned earlier, we have the migu. Once this egg changes its status from becoming non-fit, and now it's fit through shechita, so we say it becomes fit for everything. Becomes fit, meaning it's non-mukseh as well, and therefore you can have it on Yom Tov. Tanu Rabbanan. So again, that's the basic machloket you have to keep in mind, just so you remember the machloket, short and sweet. Rav and Shmuel, Ifroach Shinoal Biyom Tov, Rav Oser, Shmuel, Matir. Tanu Rabbanan. Ifroach Shinoal Biyom Tov, Asur. Okay, obviously it's going like Rav. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Af Bechol Asur. Oh, Rabbi Eliezer says, hold it. A chick that's born on even a weekday, forget about Yom Tov. Chicks are always asur. What do you mean? Lefi shelo nitpatichu einav. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds, as long as the chick does not open its eyes, even after it comes out of the shell, it has a din of a sheretz, and therefore it's not considered a bird yet, and therefore it's asur. Keman azla hadetanya. Who's the following braita going like? Lechol asheretz, hasheretz laaris. When it says all the sheretzim that crawl on the ground, what is all the sheretz? Lerabot, if ruchayim shlomet patihu enehim. To come to include chicks that did not open their eyes yet. Keman, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Who's that going like? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. That's his shita. Okay. So it comes out. Everybody holds when it's still in the shell. It's asur.
Sure.
The mahlokin is when it comes out and its eyes are still closed. Mm. Hagamim will say, once it comes out, I don't care the eyes are closed. It's not a shit, it's anyway. Slaughter it, eat it, no problem. The Bilyazir says, no, no, no. You have to wait until at least it opens its eyes. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. New case. Besa. Im yitziata nigmera. Now, till the end of the Gemara, we are just going to analyze what this statement means. A betza, when it comes out, it is completed. Vague statement. Gemara says, "My im yitziata nigmera." What does it mean when the egg comes out? It is completed. Ilema, maybe you'll tell me like this: im yitziata nigmera umuteret leochla behalav. Maybe you'll tell me like this. When it comes out, it's complete, and now it has the status of an egg, to mean you could eat it with milk, implying, until the egg is complete, it's part of the animal.
Meat.
Just like the animal is meat, so therefore the chick is meat. Therefore the egg is meat. The chiddush is, in yitziatan nigmera. Once it comes out, it's complete, halakha, now you can eat it with milk. It doesn't have a meat status anymore. Maybe that's the chiddush of this Gemara. Gemara says, you mean to tell me, are you telling me that if I make shahita on the chick and I find an egg in the womb, you tell me those eggs that you find in the womb are forbidden to eat with milk? It's not so. Gemurot. You opened up the mother, right? You found eggs that were complete, mutarot leochlan bechalav, which means the eggs are always considered pav, which means not only when they were born could you eat them with halav, but even when they're inside, now she says even if they have still the red veins coming through them and so on and so forth, they're considered pav. So therefore, that cannot be the statement of the Gemara. We thought to say, what does it mean? Betzim are finished when they come out. Finished, now you can eat them with halav. That's not so. Betzim, you can eat them with halav even when they're in the mother's stomach. So what does that statement mean? Ela, im yitziatan nigmera. When it comes out, it's complete. Umuteret leochla biyom tov. Which means the chiddush is, now you can eat them biyom tov. What does it mean? So the case would be like this. Let's say the egg came out on Erev Yom Tov, right? Came out before Yom Tov, so that's Chol. So therefore, the egg was really complete when it came out. Now the law is, as long as Chol prepares for Yom Tov, it's okay. So maybe that's what the Gemara was saying. Gemara was saying like this: so long as the egg comes out before Yom Tov, im yitziata, with the yitzia, nigmera, the completion of the egg, so to speak, is finished in the sense that now you can eat it on Yom Tov. Because didn't we learn according to Rabba that you cannot eat something on Yom Tov unless it was prepared from the chol? So they're telling you, how is it prepared from the chol? Im yitziata, the fact that it came out during the chol, this is already considered nigmera, and you can eat it on Yom Tov. Look at Rashi. Biyom tov. See Rashi biyom tov. Vachi kama yatsta vaday mebeod yom. If it came out mebeod yom before yom tov, mutar ki vaday unigmera bechol. Aval lo yatsta. But if it didn't come out, lo nigmera bechol v'asuram shemachana deraba. Which means if it came out on yom tov itself. Right, the Gemara is going to say that this is hakana Yom Tov cannot mechin for itself, which means Yom Tov now you have hakana on Yom Tov itself, therefore it's going to be asur. So the Gemara makes an implication over here. Gemara says, "Hab me'e ima asura le'ochla b'Yom Tov." You're telling me the only time I can eat this is because it came out before Yom Tov. What about if on Yom Tov I slaughtered the chicken and it's in there? It's mashma, it's asur. Because you're telling me, betza im yitziata kodem Yom Tov digmera umuteret. Mashma, because it came out before Yom Tov. Mashma, if it didn't come out before Yom Tov and you slaughtered it and it was inside, it's going to be asur. That's what you're trying to tell me? It's not the halakha. Why? Ve'ad tanya, we have a clear braita, ha-shochetet ha-tanegolet, u-matza ba-betzim gemurot, we found the eggs inside, mutarot le-ochlam, be-yom tov, it's permissible to eat them. So therefore, the way you're learning this statement, the implication is wrong. You're talking, betzim gemurot mutarot, meaning, why can you eat an egg on Yom Tov? Davka if they came out before Yom Tov. Implying if they didn't come out on Yom Tov, even if you slaughtered it, it's asur. That's a wrong implication, because I got a braita that clearly says it's mutar. If you find them in the chicken on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, v'chi tema kamashmalan bebaraita maydelo ashminan bematnitin. Maybe you'll tell me, this braita that you're quoting me, that the egg inside the chicken is mutar on Yom Tov, it's not a valid braita. Because we haven't found the Mishnah that says this law. And therefore, this braita is Mishubeshit. This braita over here is not a valid braita. The braita is going to teach me something that I haven't found in the Mishnayot. If this was a halakha, wouldn't Rabbeinu HaKadosh have written it somewhere in the Mishnayot? From the fact that Rabbeinu HaKadosh does not write a Mishnah on this subject, must be holds, it's asur. And therefore, you can't have the egg that's in the stomach on Yom Tov. First of all, it is a Mishnah. Well, what's the Mishnah? Betza shenoda biyom tov, bet shamay omrim te'achel, ubet elel omrim lo te'achel. Our Mishnah. A betza that was born on Yom Tov, you have a machloket, bet shamay, bet elel. Ve'ad kan lo peligi bet shamay ubet elel benolda. The only machloket bet shamay bet elel have is when the egg was born on Yom Tov. But when they slaughter it and they find it in the stomach, everybody's going to say mutar. Right. So therefore, from our Mishnah, you could deduce that the egg and the chicken that you find on Yom Tov is mutar. Kebras, who told you to learn the Mishnah like that? Maybe I'll tell you, you know what? Bet Hillel is not only osir the egg that came out on Yom Tov, but he's osir the egg even that's in the mother. So why did he talk about the case of the born egg? How can we didn't discuss the case of the egg inside? And the reason why the Mishnah chose the case of the egg that was hatched is to teach me the leniency of Bet Shammai. That Bet Shammai is so lenient that he's even lenient on the egg that comes out. No, that comes out. There's a bigger hadut to say that the egg that comes out is to be mahmir. Because it's nolad, it came out. You don't have the heterim of it. Agavimor and all that other stuff. So therefore, the Gemara is saying like this. Gemara is saying, we have a Mishnah that clearly tells us the egg inside is mutar. Clearly tells us. How does it clearly tell us? Well, you see, betza shenoda biyom tov, machloket bet shemai bet elel. The only machloket is betza shenoda. Mashma, the betza that's inside, everybody holds it's mutar. Who told you? Maybe I'll tell you they're really arguing on the betza inside as well. And the only reason why they discussed the case of betza shenoda to show you how lenient bet shemai was. Okay, but you can't learn like that. Elaha detanya. We have a bright ashohet et atanegolet. Umatza ba betzim gemurot. Have a brighter. You slaughtered the tamnegol and you found betzim gemurot inside. Mutarot leochlam biyom tov mani. Who's the author going to be? Lo bet shamai. It's not going to be like bet shamai, because bet shamai doesn't only allow the betzim, he even allows the egg that was born. Velo betilel, because betilel is not only osir what's inside, he's osir outside. So for this brighter is going like nobody. Which if you're going to learn the Mishnah like you're learning, this brighter has no author. Because you want to learn the Mishnah to say what? Bet Hillel is osir everything. Egg, outside and inside. And Bet Shammai is matir, everything. Egg inside, outside. Now we have a braita. The braita says, the egg inside the mother on Yom Tov is mutar. Implying egg inside mutar, but comes outside asur. So who's the author then? You have a braita that's authorless. It's not Bet Hillel. It's not Bet Shammai. Ela, you have to say what? That the Mishnah, our Mishnah that was talking about the egg, was only talking about an egg that came out. But the egg that's inside and you slaughtered it, everybody's going to say mutar. Oh, so everybody's going to say mutar. Now we're back to our question. What does it mean when it says Betzah. Im yitziata nigmera. An egg, when it comes out, it is complete. What does that statement mean? And don't tell me it means when it comes out, meaning before Yom Tov, it's now prepared to eat on Yom Tov, because that implies that if it didn't come out on Yom Tov, you can't eat it. That's not so, because when it didn't come out on Yom Tov and you slaughter it, you can't eat it. Yeah. So therefore, to learn it that way, the implication is incorrect. So what does the statement mean? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, I will give you the statement. Ela, two lines on the bottom. Im yitziata nigmera umegadelet efrohim. Rule about eggs. An egg, once it comes out of the mother, now it has the potential to produce chicks. But as long as it's in the mother, meaning if you took it out of the mother,
no matter what you do,
it'll never turn into a chick. Which is, if you slaughtered the chick, there's eggs in there. You took the chick out, it took the egg out, I'm sorry, this egg will never fertilize to a chick. Wow. However, if it's born, it comes out of the mother, in yitziata nigmera. When it's coming out, when it's emergence, it's complete now to turn into a ifroah. Look at the bottom nashi, umegadilat ifrohim. Now, what's the nafka mina? Which is, what do we have to know this for? Right. Stam, trivial question on chicks. So the Rashi tells us, ul'inyan di mekah o memkah itmar. That's the nafka mina for business. The im noda, when it's born, nigmar bishula. We'll say it's like ripe, it's complete, it's mature. V'ru'yah l'gadol ben efrohim. Aval nimset b'mei ima, if you find it in the mother's stomach, אינם בגדת אפרוחים. Now, ואם תבעו למכור ביצים לגדל אפרוחים, אם מאחר אלו אבי מקח תאותו בתל המקח. דווקא מינה, you go to the store, you tell the guy, listen, I want eggs that can produce chicks. And he gives you the eggs from the womb, now you can take them to bed din, get your money back. מקח תאות. So the Gemara says that. Gemara says, למה נפקא מינה? What's the נפקא מינה over here? למקח וממכר. And the Gemara gives us a story. כי ההוא דאמר להו. The story of a guy went to the market and he said like this. He was saying, who has be'ed fahya? Be'ed fahya, fahya means when the chicken cackles when she's giving birth, the mother chicken cackles. So they call the eggs that are hatched or that are born Be'ed fahya, the eggs of the cackling chicken, cackling eggs. So he said, Be'ed fahya leman. So he's looking for seemingly eggs that can turn into chicks. That's what he says. But Be'ed fahya leman. This was the customer walking in the market trying to find these type of items. So what happens? Yahavu le be'ed shchuta. They gave him the eggs from his animal that was
slaughtered.
From a chicken that was slaughtered. They gave him the chicks inside. So they gave him. So he came to the rabbi. Said, hey, I went to the marketplace over here to buy chicks. And they gave me these eggs. Amar lehu mekach ta'ut hava vehadar. It's a mistake in the transaction. Total refund. You get your money back. Right. So the Gemara says, Peshita. What do you mean? This is Peshita. This is a no-brainer case.
Right.
He's buying one thing. They gave him another thing, which means the Gemara is telling us a story. Ki'ilu Hidush. What's the Hidush over there? Right. He asked for A, they gave him B. So the Gemara says, no. Ma'u de tema, hay la'achila kaba'ilehu. Really, the guy, he wanted eggs to eat. He really wasn't going for chicks. He was going for eggs that are eaten. No, like they are. The high the kamar the fahya. So why do you use the word the fahya? Cackling eggs. Why do you use that? Mishum ditzrivan. Because an egg that's hatched, not hatched, that's born, is more ripe. Which means for the consistency of eating, it's better when it's born. Which means you can eat them both when they're born, that before it turns into a chick, or when it's in the mother's womb. So I can argue, you know, when the guy said be'ed fahya leman, he just meant he wants the born egg because he'd rather have it more, you know, it's hardened a little, or it's more mature. Yeah, exactly. He wants a better tasting egg for him, let's say. Now, lemay nafkamina, and then what would the law be? Limitba le bene bene. Then the halakha would say, well, it's not a mekach ta'ut. Because bottom line, you got what you got. But all the rabbi would have told them is, pay the difference. Because, yeah, you asked for so you paid for a higher quality egg. They gave you this inferior egg. So then Rav Amir would have told them, all right, listen, Halakha says, just pay him the difference what he gave you. No, when he said he wants eggs that are going to hatch into chicks, and therefore it's no sale. Refund it all, and therefore it's a make-up. That's the solution of the case.